Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. It is budget time for local municipalities. Without exception, politicians, bureaucrats, and taxpayers sweat it out to come up with a solution for the annual budget. With more pressures than ever, it is a struggle to find a balance between affordability and services. In this interview, Port Hope Mayor Elena Hankovinsky outlines the decision by council to raise the levy by 6.9%. She outlines the complexity of trying to maintain services and address critical issues while not creating fiscal hardship for taxpayers. For some, it is coal in their stocking. For others, it is the pursuit of political and fiscal realities that no wrapping paper or bows will hide. I'm so pleased to have with me today Mayor Elena Hankovinsky.
Thank you very much. I'm so pleased to be with you again.
Council has decided on a 6.9% increase in its 2024 budget. That would be one of the highest in recent memory. Before we get into any explanations or reasons why, I want to know, what was your gut reaction?
We actually started with a much higher number. And I had actually brought forward a motion at the very last council deliberation around the budget to come down from 7.4% to 6.9%. And that was really in consideration of residential concerns and trying to strike a balance between addressing the financial challenges and respecting really the community's economic constraints. We know that increasingly people are faced with housing insecurity, with food insecurity. We've got a significant number of our constituents who are on fixed incomes. So we brought down the budget from 7.4 through to 6.9%, and I did that through a motion that I introduced at the council table, and I think that it allowed us to strike the best possible balance given the real pressures that are upon us as a municipality. And of course, everybody knows the kinds of pressures that everyone's facing, and municipalities are part of the ecosystem that is facing really the same kind of pressures, whether we're talking about inflation or interest rates or climate change, in our community of Port Hope, slow economic growth. And like all municipalities everywhere, the real pressures of infrastructure upkeep and investment.
That explains a lot. And I appreciate that very, very much. But what I asked you was, what did you feel? Were you happy? Were you sad? Were you angry? What were you feeling when you realized here we are, 6.9%? It's a big increase. I appreciate the fact that it's less than what you had started out with. But how did you feel in that moment?
I felt like we had done the best that we could. And it was not an easy decision, but it was the responsible decision, balancing all of the different factors that we had to deal with. So I felt calm, I felt confident, and I felt that it was really, truly the best that we could do while still being responsible to the constituents of Port Hope.
You've been very good at identifying a number of factors that played into the final decision. I'd like to break those down. Now, first was infrastructure. Now, you have a $16 million capital project investment that's going on, and this is not including maintenance or retaining service levels or loans, so forth. Can you explain what that is going forward?
Right. Well, you know, we've got the most major challenge in front of us in the near future, is Walton Street reconstruction. And that is going to be probably one of the biggest projects we've undertaken as a municipality in a very long time. We all know that while we go into projects, we can have the best of intentions and plans, that costs tend to rise, that there's always the what ifs, and once you start digging, that there could be some unexpected surprises. And so we're really needing to be fully prepared for that project. That's going to be a very large part of our capital costs. We've set aside just under $7 million for that. But from my perspective, I think it's probably going to be more than that by the time we finish. We are putting in contingency plans for that, including we have requested a delegation at Roma in January to talk to the Minister of Infrastructure about that particular cost. So that, you know, that is our largest project, our biggest challenge. But we also have rural roads maintenance. We've got recreation facility maintenance and municipal fleet replacements. And all of those things are really down to the very, very bare bones of what we need to kind of keep the lights on, if one can say that, and keep the minimum level of services that are required by the municipality.
Another aspect that you mention is slow growth of the community. What does that refer to?
Well, you know, we have not had the kind of focus on economic development over the last number of years that we should have. That is being corrected by this council. We have invested a significant amount of money, especially in last year's budget, towards creating a very robust economic development plan and a tourism plan. Those have now been tabled. I think our economic development plan is absolutely outstanding. We've just seen the final version of it, and it gives us a very clear roadmap of where we need to go in order to spur growth and development in our community. And there's no doubt, Robert, that we need to diversify our tax base. It's something that we've talked about since the very beginning. It's something that this council has talked about from the time that we have all come in to office. We've, you know, certainly put an investment into that, and we are actively trying to attract more industry into the community. And we're also going to have to come to terms, I think, over the next year, where we want to grow in terms of housing. We're undertaking a comprehensive land inventory. We're going to identify available lands for more housing, and we're going to have to at some point strike that balance between all the things that we love about Port Hope as being a smaller community with its identity and its heritage, with increasing the tax base that we need in order to continue to deliver our services, but even more importantly, to be able to care for our assets and replace our assets when necessary.
Now, Port Hope has faced a number of controversial developments, Penryn Park, the old hospital South Bridge. Do you think that these have had a negative impact on development in Port Hope? In other words, are developers getting a little turned off with Port Hope?
Well, I think this is a new council. It's a new chapter. We have a new CAO in place. And I think when I think about those projects, Robert, I think about them as legacy projects that we unfortunately inherited and had to deal with in ways that weren't dealt with in the past. But, you know, I want to turn them into a positive spin and say that there are many important lessons that have been learned from those experiences. There are things that we know we will never do again. But at the same time, we are signaling very strongly to investors and developers that Port Hope is open for business. We have a new set of people that are in the driver's seat here. We are interested in establishing new kinds of relationships with developers. We're very clearly signaling the kind of development that we want. You probably heard me announcing at the council table a while ago a really important accomplishment that we realized with the Wellings project here in Port Hope. And you know, that's a development that's happening on land that was privately bought and held, and we were still able to negotiate affordable units in that new development for a long period of time. So it's about saying we're open for business. It's a new chapter. But at the same time, if you're coming into this community, that there are going to be certain things that we're going to be looking for in forging new relationships with those that are coming to invest and build.
You alluded to this earlier, but I'd like to explore it a little deeper, and that is the impact of interest rates and inflation on the municipal budget. What role are they playing in this increase?
Well, you know, really significant inflation challenges absolutely inform the development of our budget. So the 2024 inflation impact is just under, 0.9 million. So 3.7% levy increase to ensure basically that we are no worse off than where we're at. But the total inflation gap is $1.3 million, which is 5.3% in a tax levy. And the total funding gap is $9.9 million, which would be a 40.7% levy increase. So inflation is tremendous, but inflation is something that we all know in our personal lives, in our household expenditures, but also at the municipal level. And there's no way to skirt that. There's no way to get around that. We were looking at some basic equipment and supplies that the municipality bought, say, a year or two ago. And in some instances, we're seeing 80% increases due to inflation. And so these are things that we really have no control over, but we need to respond to.
What items in the budget drew the most debate from councillors?
Well, you know, I think that we went through everything very carefully, line by line. I think the biggest, I wouldn't say debate, but point of discussion really is, can we continue realistically to deliver the range of services that we have delivered in this municipality, given inflation and given the stresses that we've got on our infrastructure and our asset management? At what point are we going to have to say that we're going to have to make cuts? And those are difficult conversations. I believe we have committed as a council to say we do want to have a discussion in the next number of months before we even start next year's budget, to really hash through some of those bigger picture issues, you know, services, our reserves. Are we going to have to, at some point, dig into those reserves and start spending some of the money in our reserves simply because we're so stretched? There are a number of really big picture conversations that we're going to be needing to have. You know, do we need to rethink our organizational structures, our services, our reserves, all of these things, given the tremendous pressures that we have on us and climate change on top of everything? We're talking about a budget under the best of case scenario. But if we have a number of storms as we did last year and as we've seen in previous years, that's going to put further pressure on our infrastructure.
Council went through a public consultation process. It did a survey and the results were made public. What messages from the public did you implement in the final budget?
Well, you know, I think that the balance we tried to strike with coming down to 6.9% were definitely very, very responsive to what the public talked about in terms of wanting to maintain services, not wanting a huge increase in costs. But, you know, I'll be frank, Robert, we did have survey results. We have community engagements. We had regular conversations with residents, but we do need to do a better job in trying to reach a whole range of residents in Port Hope. We're right now, we're talking to a particular cohort, and I don't believe that we've got enough younger people in those demographics, or those that represent a fuller picture of our socioeconomic picture. So we're hoping in the future that we can better diversify the kind of engagement that we're having. But for the conversations we did have, for the information that we did receive, I believe that this budget is very representative of those voices.
Your strategic plan plays a really important role in the formation of the budget. How are the goals of the strategic plan voiced in this budget? Where did they find a home?
Well, you know, I think that if we did a pretty comprehensive analysis of the breakdown of the actual overall budget that we've got of $63 million overall. And I would say that about 4.2% of that budget is all linked to strategic plan initiatives. And so that's a good chunk. I'm very proud of that. And of course, climate change and resilience are a very significant part of that. And as are the, you know, other goals of the strategic plan. And what I'm really hoping to see over the next year is some metrics that we can be reporting on as we continue with the work to show the residents how the spending of money is directly linked to the actions that we have outlined in our strategic plan. We still have to do a very final version of our next draft. And that, I know that's something that the new CAO is very keen to finalize, but I'm very confident that we have a budget that very much advances the priorities of our strategic plan.
Could you just give one or two examples of how an item from the strategic plan is being implemented by the budget?
Well, you know, it's taking care of our infrastructure, Robert, is trying to ensure that how we're managing our assets and how we're replacing our assets are in line with climate resilience. I think that is it's a cross-cutting theme, and in many ways a reason why the capital expenditures are so significant. We're putting together a climate action plan, where when we're talking about the investment we've made into our economic development plan and its implementation, that is very much directly linked to ensuring that we have growth and that we have opportunities for more housing. The land inventory that we're doing is also going to ensure that we have a plan for where we can grow with more housing. So I think it's well thought through.
You mentioned earlier that you're hoping to speak to some of the top officials, some ministers at the upcoming Roma conference. Are you getting sufficient support from the provincial government when it comes to certain budget items?
There's always a really fruitful conversation that happens on many of the budget items. And, you know, that happens whether we're talking about sitting at the county table and through the conversations that the warden is having and the CAO is having at the county level with the province, right through to whenever I have the opportunity to advocate for Port Hope at the provincial table. And so fingers crossed that our delegations to Roma are accepted and that we have the opportunity to have our CAO, and if I should be there, if that's required, to advocate, for example, to the Minister of Infrastructure about our Walton Street project and the cost that's presenting for our community and the tremendous increases in water tower pricing that we're facing as well. So having the opportunity for those audiences and being heard is an important part. of that process, as is the advocacy that happens through ROMA and AMA with both the provincial and federal levels of government.
With all the financial hardship people in the community face, especially seniors who are very vulnerable, what do you say to these people when it comes to such a large increase?
Oh, that's a really hard conversation. To be certain, I would just say that we are doing our best. We're very conscientious of the challenges that everybody has in our community in terms of increasing prices and costs of living, but we would not be responsible to bring in a budget that's any lower than this, because all we would be doing ultimately is just putting off the cost to next year or the year after, and that we are constantly looking for how to increase the revenue stream into our community so that at some point we can have more tax relief. But for the moment, we're taking a multi-pronged approach, and we have to be responsible in our decision-making. And hard decisions are not easy decisions to make politically, as you know.
What has the public reaction to the budget been so far since you finalized it?
You know, it's been remarkably, I would say, quiet for the moment. You know, we have reported on it. I think, you know, it's interesting because there's still two pieces of the overall tax puzzle that need to be filled. So we've got the Port Hope piece done, and yet we still are waiting for the final county budget, which accounts for 33% of the tax bill and the education component of the tax bill. So there's still 44% of the tax puzzle that we don't have certainty on, but we do have certainty on the part that's the municipal tax bill. And for the average MPAC home that is valued at $270,000, so that's the median in Port Hope, the increase in the tax bill of 6.9% equals $305 a year. So we'll see what the county lands on. We're going to be making those final deliberations at the county table tomorrow, and we'll see. I don't anticipate that the education levy is going to increase or change too much, but we'll have a much better picture of the overall tax bill in short order.
So where does all of this go from here? What's going to happen next?
Well, we've passed on our part here in Port Hope. We've passed the budget December the 5th. It comes into effect in January 2024. As I mentioned earlier, I think we're going to have some overarching conversations at the council table around financial issues that are separate from budget deliberations in the coming months, because I do think that we need to have some hard decisions, and hopefully that will also allow us to better inform where we go in the future with our budget. And in the meantime, we've got a new grant facilitator in place for the municipality. We'll be looking at every granting opportunity. We'll be looking at every potential to be in front of government representatives at ROMA and at AMO. We also have a terrific new CAO that's got ideas about how to increase the revenue streams coming into the municipality. So it truly is a new chapter of Port Hope, and I believe with new leadership in place that will be in good stead for 2024.
Elena Hankovinsky, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much for your time, Robert.
That was Port Hope Mayor Elena Hankovinsky. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.